That's awesome. I love that last line. His resume is flawless. Man, as we dig into the word here this morning, we're going to hear a little bit more about that and what that means for us here today. But God's grace, his mercy, and his peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who is and always will be the Christ. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts will be good and pleasing in your sight, our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. All right, so who here likes scary movies? Raise your hand. Go ahead and raise your hand. Be bold. Be bold. All right, there we go. We got some folks who like to be, you know, like to be scared, like to be frightened a little bit. Nothing wrong with that. You know, if there was something wrong with that, they wouldn't make scary movies. So, personally, I don't. And not because I have any moral objections to them or anything like that. I'm just a pansy. That's why. That's why I don't like scary movies, because I'm a pansy and I'm not afraid or ashamed to admit it. I'm 40 years old and I'm still scared of the dark. When my wife goes out of town to visit her family in Michigan, you know, it was really great when we had a dog because I at least felt safe because my dog was there. But now that we don't have a dog anymore, when my wife is gone for a night, I freak out. I'm like, what's going on? What's that? What's this? Well, the good news is I am hard of hearing, so I guess if someone robbed my house blind, I probably wouldn't hear it anyway. So, but I'm afraid of the dark. I'm afraid, you know, I can't watch scary movies. I can't even watch the commercial for scary movies. As a kid, if there was a scary movie on, I remember I couldn't sleep for weeks after, like, I would walk through the room where my family, we were having, like, a Bible study, and, like, the older kids, you know, like, the junior high kids at that time, I was, like, 5 or 6, and the older kids were watching, like, Ghostbusters. Or, you know, some of the classic 80s movies. And I remember walking through the room. I don't even sit and watch it. I just walked through the room and saw a scene. And, like, for the next week, I couldn't sleep. And my parents were like, why can't you sleep? I'm like, well, this happened. I saw this. And they're like, you walked through the room. You didn't even watch the movie. That's just me. You know, if I see too scary of a commercial, it freaks me out. Now, for me, I've discovered it's not so much the monsters, the aliens, those things anymore, you know, that scare me, the zombies, all that stuff isn't quite so scary for me anymore. I guess for me as an adult now, it's more the real life stuff, the people doing evil things to other people. I guess as a parent, as a father, that is what freaks me out most right now, because it's more real life than some alien coming down from the sky and doing something bad, you know. So the idea of someone breaking into my house, that's the kind of stuff that freaks me out. And so, I don't like scary movies. I am a fraidy cat, and I don't like to be afraid. And this morning, we are going to start a new sermon series after Easter, and we're going to talk about that. Not scary movies, but we're going to talk about fears. We're going to talk about the things we're afraid of and how to overcome our fears. And the reason is because ultimately, fear paralyzes our potential. It paralyzes our potential. We have gifts, we have things that we want to do, we have things that God wants us to do, and when we're afraid, just think about the last time you were afraid of something, whether it was a conversation you had to have, whether it was something going on at work, whether it was something you wanted to do in your life, you know, maybe you had a dream, a big, hairy, audacious goal that you had in life, and you maybe didn't meet it, not because you tried and failed, but maybe because you were just afraid to try, and you were afraid to fail. We struggle with those things. Many of us struggle with fears of failure. We're afraid to fail, and so we don't start. Many of us struggle with fears of belonging, or fears of rejection, or fears of being valued or worth anything. And so, you know, we struggle with these various fears in our lives. And this morning, we're going to look at Jesus' disciples in the story of what happened on Easter evening and how they faced their fears on Easter Sunday. So if you have your Bible, you can open up your tablet, your phone, or if you have a Bible with you, open up to Luke chapter 24, verse 36, and we're going to dig into Scripture a little bit today. And in the book of Luke chapter 24, verse 36, and this takes place on Easter evening. So the women came to the tomb, they saw that the tomb was gone, and they went back and told the disciples, and the disciples were like, what's going on? We're not sure. And then Jesus appeared to some other people on the walking on the road to Emmaus, and they had this conversation, and they're like, what's going on? So there's like these rumors that Jesus is alive, but no one really knows what's going on. And so, you know, here's what we see. In Luke 24, verse 36, as they were talking about these things, this being the disciples, Jesus himself stood among them and he said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that he was a spirit or a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch and see. For a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still believed, for joy, they were amazed or marveling. He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. You see, before Jesus died, before Good Friday, on Maundy Thursday, but when Jesus was having his meal with the disciples, he was telling them what was going to happen. He was like, "Hey, this is what's going to happen, guys. I'm going to be, you know, betrayed, and my betrayer is going to take me, and I'm going to go and suffer, and I'm going to die, and, you know, this is what's going to happen." If you remember the story, some of the apostles were like, "No, no, that's not going to happen on my watch." Probably, it was Peter, mostly. But that's not going to happen on my watch, Lord. I got this. Let's go get some swords out of the armory, and we're going to go out and fight for you, and we're going to defend you. And they're standing, "Well, no matter what happens, we're going to fight for Jesus, yeah, that's what we're gonna do," until the guards showed up with the torches and pitchforks. And then they all hightailed it out of town. Then on Easter Sunday, they were hiding behind locked doors. They'd heard these stories that the women had seen something like an angel. The tomb was empty. We're not sure. Maybe they were thinking, well, maybe the Romans or the Jewish authorities stole the body, and maybe they're doing something to it to teach us a lesson. Who knows what's going on? But they were terrified that the very same guys who killed Jesus might come after them as well. And that's when Jesus comes in. Literally. He shows up in a room where all the doors are locked. And you might say, how did he do that? Well, you know, risen Jesuses can do with their bodies what risen Jesuses want to do with their bodies. As one of my professors at the seminary said, if risen Jesuses want to be all over the world at the same time on a Sunday morning in communion, you know, when you rise from the dead and you defeat, you know, and you defeat the power of death and hell and, you know, and all that stuff, you know what? You can do whatever you want. And if you want to be in a room where the doors are locked and the windows are locked and you're there, well, you know what? Jesus can do that because he created the universe, so I think he can figure out how to be in that room. And so Jesus there was in that room. And 3 days after they watched him die, here he comes, alive. Now they're really freaked out. Not only are they freaked out about what's outside of the room, like the Romans and the Jewish authorities and people coming to find them, you know, they're thinking like, man, maybe they're knocking on doors and ripping Christians out of their houses and they're going to kill them and put them on the cross. And not only are they freaking out about that kind of stuff, but now Jesus is in the room and they think he's a ghost. And for any of us who've seen any ghost horror movies, you know what every ghost wants to do, right? Get revenge. I mean, imagine if Jesus has some unfinished business. He's like, "Hey, guys, remember how you told me you were going to fight for me and defend me in the garden? Okay," you know, or maybe Jesus is going to go and knock on the door of Pontius Pilate and be like, "Hey, Pontius Pilate, hey, buddy." You know, I mean, I can already hear Hollywood coming up with a new movie named The Revenge of the Christ. Trademark Tim Doerr. But here's the question. They were locked in this room, hiding, talking about what's going on, trying to figure out what to do next. Were the doors locked from the inside or the outside? They were locked from the inside. They had a message to share. Jesus had clearly given them a message and a commission multiple times in their ministry when he was before his crucifixion. In fact, on Monday, Thursday, when he had the Last Supper with him, he told them, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer. You guys are going to, this is the whole story. This isn't a surprise. They had a message to share, but what were they doing? The day that we celebrate with Easter lilies and white and you know, celebrate with great music and the resurrection of Jesus, they were hiding and afraid, shackled by their fear behind locked doors. Because that's what fear does. Fear is always a self-imposed prison. So this morning, as we start this sermon series, we're going to take a look at the three spiritual antidotes that God gives us for fear. The first one is truth. Truth. John 8:32 says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And this is true even of your fears. The reality is, much of what you and I are afraid of, much of what you and I learn in life simply isn't true. I'm not talking about fake news. You know, we always hear about fake news and whatnot. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the lies that you and I believe about ourselves and about others in our lives. You know, we base our lives on some faulty assumptions. Maybe your parents said something to you when you were a child that has always stuck with you. Maybe you had some bully on the playground say something or do something, have an experience with you. Maybe they called you a loser. They called you stupid. They called you an idiot. They said any number of things that has been embedded in your mind, and you still remember that. You can go back to that memory and conjure that. You can't remember 90% of the other things that happened in first grade or second grade, but that one memory still sticks out. Maybe you're afraid of failure because you failed one time. You're afraid of rejection or abandonment or loss because of a loss that you experienced in your life. Maybe there's some experience you had in which you said to yourself, you said to God, you said, "I'm never gonna let that happen again in my life." And so you've turned the trajectory of your entire life around in order to avoid that because you're afraid of facing that discomfort and that uncomfortable situation again. But here's the thing. We all have fears. The problem is we can't let our fears run amok in our minds. And I'm going to be honest, I am the worst at letting my fears run amok in my mind. Just ask my wife, because she's the one who has to calm me down a lot of times when I'm letting them run amok in my mind. Those beliefs that we have about ourselves, those beliefs that we have, those faulty beliefs need to be challenged. But the question is how? How do we challenge something that maybe feels so ingrained in us that it feels like it's actually a part of us? It actually feels like a part of our identity or who we are or what we need to live, you know, and we don't know how to let ourselves go from those things. We challenge them with the truth of God's word. Because, you know, the truth, it will set you free. Why were Jesus' disciples in our story afraid? They were afraid because they thought Jesus was dead. They thought that their enemies had won. They thought that they were knocking on doors, going hunting down Christians, and it was fair game to find them. And they were afraid that people were coming after them. And then when they saw Jesus, they thought that maybe Jesus was a ghost, and who knows what this ghost Jesus was going to do. So they had four things right there that they were afraid of. But it wasn't true, was it? They were basing their decision to lock themselves in this room on faulty information, and so do we. We do the exact same thing because our fear always distorts our perception. It makes things look like they're true that aren't. For example, when you and I were kids, were we ever afraid of the shadows in our room at night? I already told you, I'm still afraid of the shadows in my room at night. But what happens? You're sitting in bed, you're laying in bed as a 6, 7, or 40-year-old, and you're like, okay, you know, what is that over there? I don't want to get out of bed. I'm afraid. So you pull the covers over yourself and you're like, maybe it'll go away. You know, I'm gonna hide here and hope it goes away and cover myself up. And what's the solution? The solution is to walk over the light switch, flip on the switch, and say, oh, it's my teddy bear. Oh, okay, that's all it is. Or what's that sound? Oh, it's just my dog. Oh, okay, you know. And you know, the truth of the light takes away our fear, because when we flip on the light, we see that there's nothing really to be afraid of. And that's what Jesus does for his disciples in our story today. He doesn't say, you know, don't worry, be happy, guys. It's okay. It's always darkest before the dawn. You know, every cloud has a silver lining, and, you know, we're going to take care. It'll be fine. No. Jesus turns on the light. he gives them the truth. He says, guys, why are you afraid? Why do you doubt me? What are you afraid of here today? Look at me. Look at my hands. Here, see the holes? You see them? They're, you know, it's all, the holes are still there, but the blood is, you know, is covering it and it's all dried up. He says, see, it's still there. My feet, look at my feet. They're still, the holes are there. Look at my side. Look at my side. I still have the wound here on my side. He says, touch and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bone like I've got. You can touch me. In fact, he goes so far to prove to them that they can trust him that he even says, hey, who has a sandwich? Can I have a sandwich? Can I have a fish sandwich? Anyone got fish? Anyone got some fish sticks? Okay. Oh, here, let me have, Pete, let me have some fish sticks. So Peter gives him, someone gives him a fish stick or a you know, piece of broiled fish. And he says, look, ghosts, any scary movie you've seen, the ghost doesn't eat. So he eats a fish stick with him. He eats some broiled fish with him just to prove to them that they can trust him. Think about the exceptional lengths that Jesus, the God of the universe, goes to prove to these men that he can be trusted. You see, the truth, even though it may be gruesome, it may be bloody, it's the only solution to our fear of the unknown. The second solution, or the second antidote we have that we're going to look at in this sermon series is love. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, but whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. You know, there are two ways that love neutralizes fear. The first one is when I receive God's love for me. And that's the foundation. I have to receive God's love for me first. I need to bask in God's unconditional love for me. I have to know it more than here. I have to know it here. I have to know it in every fiber of my being. In fact, God knows the fears that you and I have. He knows what keeps you awake at night. He knows what keeps you from falling asleep. And when I trust in his love, then I can face my fears because there's no fear in love. In our reading today, Jesus tells his disciples, don't be afraid. And he goes on and says it again, peace be with you. Now, I don't know about you, but my mama taught me that when she has to repeat herself, I need to listen. He goes and says it twice in two different ways in case they weren't catching it the first time. Don't be afraid. Peace be with you. He's telling them, guys, I'm not mad. I'm not angry. I'm not here to get revenge. You know that thing that you're thinking that I'm holding over your head, that you're feeling guilty or ashamed for in your past that you did, that you think, man, God could never love me because of this. That thing that, you know, man, he can love everyone else for all of their other sins, but he could never love me because of what I did or what I thought or what happened. He says, I'm not here to dredge that up. I love you. He's telling them he loves them. And if he loves them enough to sacrifice his life and die for them, he says, can't you guys trust me that I'm going to see you through anything that might be scaring you outside of that door that you're locked behind? Like, if I love you enough to be here right now, don't you think I love you enough to be out there in the things that scare you the most? If you can trust me enough to be here right now, can you trust me out there on the other side of that door? So first we have to know God's unconditional love for us, and we have to accept it and have it and have it in our hearts and have it in our minds and know it for us. But then the next thing is we give it. We have to offer God's love to other people. That's the second way that love helps us with our fear. When you fill your life with love, it gives you the strength to fill your fears. You see, we've heard stories of, you know, a woman or a man running into a burning building to save their baby. And you say, how'd they do that? How could they possibly do that? Simple. It's love for their child. Love for their child gives them power to overcome their fears. Why is love an antidote for fear? Because the root of fear is self-centeredness. It's a preoccupation with myself. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to be a failure. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to look bad. I don't want. I'm afraid. I just want. You hear a common word there? I. When we're afraid, we do a lot of navel gazing. We do a lot of looking at ourselves and where we're short, where we're not able to meet the world's, you know, standards, where we're not going to be up to the task, where we're going to drop the ball, where we are. But it's interesting, the Bible, self-help books, counselors, they all say that one of the best ways to work through grief or addictions, or emotional trauma, emotional struggles, one of the best ways to do that is by serving others. Serving in a soup kitchen, serving at your church, helping others, you know, in the community, doing things for others, giving back. Because when you give back, when you serve other people, it takes the focus off of yourself and what you don't have or what you're afraid of or what you think is deficient in yourself, and it puts it on the fact that you're channeling that and that love and giving it to other people. And so loving, knowing God's love for you, but also giving God's love to others. And we see that when we take the focus off us and put it onto others. After Jesus calmed the disciples down that night, what do we see he does? He refocuses their lives. In John 20, he gives them a mission. It says he breathed on them and he sent them out for the forgiveness of sins for the whole world. If you remember on Good Friday, Jesus hung on a cross. And one of those seven last words that Jesus gave on that cross was, "Father, forgive them, the people who put me here, for they don't know what they're doing. The people who are the reason that I'm here, forgive them, for they are broken and they don't know what they're doing right now." And that night, Jesus gives his disciples the mission. He says, "You saw what I did on the cross a couple of days ago? You go and do that too." He gave them a mission bigger than themselves, a mission to love the world the way he loves the world and follow in his footsteps. The third antidote and last antidote to fear we're going to look at today is faith. So we've got truth, we've got love, and we've got faith. Ephesians 6:16 says, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." The Bible says, take up your shield. But what is faith? Faith is more than just believing. Faith is taking action. Faith doesn't always remove the feelings of fear. I'm gonna be honest, you know, and for me, I'll be honest about myself. For a long time, I thought, you know, if I'm doing what God wants me to do, if I'm in the right spot in my life, if I'm truly a godly person, I'm not gonna have fear. I'm not gonna have anxiety. I'm not gonna have stress in my life because I'm gonna be so focused on what God wants me to do that I'm gonna be in the right spot. I'm gonna be doing things right, and I'm just not gonna worry about these things. So anytime I was afraid, or anytime I was feeling stressed, or anytime I struggled with anxious feelings, I thought, well, I must not be doing what God wants me to do, because if I was, then I wouldn't have this feeling. And I was totally wrong. I was letting fear run my life. Because you see, faith doesn't necessarily take away the feelings of fear, but it gives me strength to face my fears in spite of how I feel. You know, I love the show Band of Brothers, where they interview the guys from the 101st Airborne Division in World War II. And in one of the episodes, they talk about fear, and they say, "We were all afraid. We were all terrified. Even the guys who looked like they had it all together, even the guys who looked the most courageous, we were all afraid." The question wasn't not being afraid. The question was, what do I do when I'm afraid? That's what courage is. It's in those moments that Jesus tells you again, don't be afraid. Have peace. Don't let fear shackle you and lock you in today. You see, Jesus' resurrection changes everything. We as Lutherans sometimes get knocked for talking about the cross and the empty tomb a lot. You know, hey, you guys always talk about the cross and Easter. That's all you guys talk about. You guys, you know, talk about more stuff. And we get knocked about. But there's something to that, because I'm going to be honest. I've had those dark moments of the soul where I'm like, okay, is this Christianity thing true? Is it real? I've had, you know, as in the seminary and as a young pastor, I've had those doubts where I'm like, well, is it true? Is it not? What's going on? I'm going to be honest. The thing that has always given me hope or always made me sure that this is true is this story right here. Because here's the thing. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything. The disciples went from this story being terrified mice, afraid of their shadows, hiding in a little corner, afraid to go outside. Because if someone finds out that I believe in Jesus, then what's going to happen to me? I'm going to be dragged through the streets and killed, and I don't want to suffer. And what happens to them? They go from that to turning into lions who are willing to face their fears courageously. In fact, so much so that they even face the very thing that they were terrified of. Because of their preaching that Jesus rose from the dead, because of their preaching that Jesus changes everything, you know what happened? All of them suffered and all of them died, except for one who was exiled because of his faith. Every one of them faced the very thing that they were terrified of in this story. And you know why they did it? What changed? Jesus was alive. Jesus didn't stay dead. They didn't have to be afraid because Jesus is here in this room with them right now. And he told them basically, and not only am I here in this room with you right now, but when you unlock that door and walk outside into the fears that are holding you back, I'm going to be with you out there too. So it's not just a platitude, it's not just a saying. Psalm 56 verse 3 says, when I am afraid, I will put my confidence in God. Yes, I will trust the promises of God. And in the next few weeks, we're going to look at those fears that we have and the things that we've talked about, because God says that the answer to our fears isn't a formula, but a person. When you think about the three spiritual antidotes I gave you here today, basically, truth, love, and faith are a description of Jesus. Because after all, Scripture says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says God is love, and he is our faith. Jesus is the antidote to our fears. So today, Jesus is saying to you, don't be afraid. Have peace, because Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that because you live, we too can live also. We know that it's not just a pious statement. It's not just something that we say on Sunday morning, but it is true that you are alive. You have risen. You have risen indeed, and you are with us in the world, outside of these walls, in all the things that shackle us and hold us back and that we're afraid of, all the changes that we're facing in our lives, all the frightening things that we face. Lord, you are there, just like you were there with those disciples in that room, and you send us out on your mission with your love to share boldly and proclaim that you are alive and that you change lives starting with ours. So Lord, I pray that you'd be with us today, bless us, and give us your peace. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say,